Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and knowledgeable boys. You've got myself, Tommy Dasilo, and sitting right next to me, you have Adam Knox.
Here I am. Boy, it's crazy how I feel like I could reach out and touch you.
Yeah, you currently are. Can you keep your hands to yourself, please?
Well, it's just also, you being in the room here, Tommy. It's really hard to ignore your magnetic sexual energy.
If there's one thing you can say about me right now, is that it's that I currently am in the same room as both of you boys. And another human who I'm currently occupying the exact same physical space as, it's Ben Vanell.
Hey, Tommy. It's good to be sitting on your lap, as always. The setup we use every episode, me on lap, you on Nox's lap.
And me on all fours.
I said occupying the exact same physical space. That would sort of mean that I've, like, my soul has, like, inhabited your body, is what that would mean.
You know that thing of when people say that, like, you know how none of our atoms touch, and there's hypothetically a chance that if you just ran at a wall at the right exact time, you'd just slip through it? How about you fucking try that now?
Well, that's a long way to go to just basically be telling someone to go fuck themselves. are you going to try and make that? Is that the more scientific take a long walk off a short pier?
Yeah, that's the shitty Big Bang Theory version of that.
Yeah, you've got to be wearing a Bazinga t-shirt while you say it.
Well, good thing I always am.
So we are recording this in two different places. You guys are in Melbourne, I am in New York, and we're both recording our own audio separately. So the goal is that this will just sound like a regular episode to people. But this is a weird one where we're doing it, and as we're doing it, we're not sure if it's even going to be releasable.
I guess not.
But we kind of feel that way about every episode, even the normal ones.
Good point.
Quality of content.
Yeah, good point. And also, I got up at like 7:30 to do this local time. So I think it might be one of the only times I've ever said good morning video games, and it literally be the morning.
Oh, milestone.
So
looking at your little apartment here, Tommy, on Skype, you said that the toilet, which you showed us before, has a glass door.
Yeah.
Why? Expand.
Oh, well, as the architect of this hotel, let me talk you through my design decision. Yeah, it's one of those, it's a pod hotel. So it's like, everything's really clean and nice, but they're just like
pretty appropriate, like, no, for what we're doing right here, right now.
Oh, cause we're doing a radio show.
We're doing a bit
show.
Of a radio show, eh? In a pod hotel. Now I've just learned from that experience not to interrupt you again.
It's very difficult for me when you guys both start talking and interrupt me, cause I cannot make out what you're saying. Yeah, no pod hotel. I did. I got a sweet discount when I checked in. I had to show them some raw Audacity files that I was working on, and they're like, "Oh, you're one of the chosen ones. Great."
Because every audio engineer calls them Audacity files.
Yes. But yeah, everyone in here is currently doing a podcast. I think Mark Maron's staying in the room next to me. Nerdist is just down the hall. It's great in here, guys.
It sounds super fun. Do you remember that show Last Comic Standing? Where they got them all to live in a hotel together? I always thought that'd be a bit of fun, hanging out with comedians at a hotel.
So last comic standing, the only time any comedians have ever lived in a hotel together. Yeah.
Haven't we all done this previously with festivals and stuff? Like, we have lived in a hotel together.
So. That's the only reason Knox wants to be on Last Comic Standing. It's not for like the exposure or the promise of a sweet cash prize. It's imagine being in a hotel.
I actually don't get to stay in hotels very often.
You're not allowed to anymore, are you?
No, I'm banned from all of them because of my raw final sexual audacity files. But I I'll usually stay at an Airbnb or something like that if I go somewhere, just because of the affordability.
Yeah, yeah.
I was in Montreal before this, and I met a few filth listeners there, which was lovely. So hello to those people.
And hello, Jacques.
I got on our Facebook page yesterday, and I tried to host a meet and greet here in Central Park.
Oh, yeah.
And I did just get a lot of people going, oh, come to New Jersey instead. Yeah, no worries.
I thought that we would have had a lot of listeners in New York based on our data that we're stealing from people.
Yeah, yeah. We have a few. We also had a lot of people go, oh, I'm at work. Can you just wait until 5? Again, more than happy to just fall by what other people want me to do.
Well, is New York one of those cities as well where everyone kind of lives outside of it but works inside of it?
I think from what I've heard, it's the city that never sleeps.
Yeah, right. This is the one where Pauline is the mayor, yeah?
Yes, yes. Well, yeah, there's a big... there's a big Nintendo flagship store at Rockefeller Center that I went to the other day, and it's great. Like, they have lots of merch, obviously, and just, you know, demo units. It's fun. But I was walking around in there and I bumped into a friend of mine who I'm traveling with, but I hadn't seen him all day. And I go up to him and he goes, I literally just came here to try and find you because I knew this is where you'd be. So,
like a lost child, like Macaulay Culkin,
yeah, yeah.
running around. I think I met Donald Trump earlier.
I went up and tapped him on the shoulder, and he wasn't even amazed by the coincidence. He was just like, yeah, okay, hey. It worked out. I came here to find you. Yeah.
This really does, just very quickly, this does feel like talking to grandma. Having you on Skype here, telling us your little stories.
Yeah, yeah. All of grandma's sweet stories about going to the Nintendo shop. So, sure.
I was going to say, I had a funky grandma.
So I've been gone for a week. What have you guys been playing, anything while I've been gone so far?
Well, I've been playing not a new game, but a game that was on sale on the PlayStation Store, Ratchet & Clank. A big fan of yours, Tommy.
Yes, yes.
It's fucking great. I didn't, because I watched you play it once and I was like, oh yeah, cool. It was a boss battle. And so I was like, oh yeah, it's, you know, it's kind of like an old school platformer shooter kind of thing. But I didn't really, I guess I didn't pay attention as I want to do when you're playing something or talking. But
what was that? Sorry, the connection just dropped out for a second. Can you repeat?
Never mind.
Can you repeat what you just said?
It looks fantastic. I remember when we talked about the Crash Bandicoot remaster, people were like, oh, yeah, you know, it's like Ratchet & Clank. But Ratchet & Clank looks way better than the Crash trilogy. It's just beautiful, the detail and the kind of art style. And, yeah, it looks great. It plays really well.
I've never been 100% clear on... I've never been 100% clear on with that game, how much of it was... Because I know they didn't just upscale the graphics. They actually redid heaps of it. Mm. And I've never quite been clear, having not played the originals, exactly how much they changed and how much is new.
It's a remake in the way that Judge Dredd or Total Recall were remakes. Right. You know what I mean? They're new movies from the same concept.
Yeah, because didn't they? But I think there are levels that are the same.
With Crash, you mean?
No, with Ratchet and Clank.
With Ratchet and Clank.
Oh, okay. Right. Yeah, no, I guess I don't know anything about the
original. Because Crash Bandicoot is one for one, except for the graphics. But yeah, Ratchet and Clank, I think someone even told me that
there's flat-out
elements
remake
of all three games in there or something. So it's level design of one, but then mechanics of another. But yeah, it's kind of the gold standard of a remake, I reckon. Mm. you know, you could have said that was released for the first time last year and you'd buy it.
Like, totally, which it. I think, yeah, comes from the fact that they just took the best bits of the others and basically made a new game. And it's like a reboot almost, I guess. But it's really fun. I think you might have talked about it at the time, Tommy, the cutscenes and the stuff that ties into the movie, probably the weakest part. The writing isn't great.
Yeah. The fact that the bad guys are literally called the Blarg?
Yeah.
They're the most, just a first draft of what you would grab out of the air to come up with for a nickname for a bad guy. Yeah.
Yeah. And even the heroes, like Ratchet's fine and Clank is okay, but kind of the other heroes, you know, the Galactic Ranger guys, the one who's telling the story, like the voice acting is good. I think there might be some voices I recognize from, you know, Futurama or other like cartoons.
Yeah.
It's just the writing is, it's all first draft stuff, it feels like, which is a bit of a shame. But look, I'm not really playing the game for that stuff. And the platforming and the combat's so good.
I kind of liked the device of the fact that the game is narrated by the, what's his name, dude? The Galactic Ranger guy
Quark,
who's in jet. Like him doing the tutorial and the way he kind of is sort of telling you what to do through it, in that being kind of woven into the writing and the story, I thought was well done. But then, the deeper in it got, and when you get into those big cutscenes and it's like, this script would be the toilet paper at Pixar. Probably not even good enough for that. Like, it's the most...
Pixar, a very vindictive rent. Studio where they use other people's scripts as toilet paper.
So is it there DreamWorks? Was it actually DreamWorks that did the movie or was it some other shitty company?
Oh, God. I don't think so. I think
DreamWorks
was
just a distributor.
Okay.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a studio with any kind of clout behind them. I'm kind of curious to see the movie because it sounds even in terms of like the writing in the game, which I always give a fair bit of leeway to because you sort of go, well, it's a game. It's you know, it's a different medium.
Mm.
But even in terms of that going, this is real bad, let alone, you know, seeing it on a big screen.
Yeah.
And the idea that, that these characters are compelling enough that people would be like, oh, I can't wait. Like, you know, Mario's a beloved character and we have had a Mario movie, but like an animated one that ties in. Like, you know what I mean? Like, given that there's so many actually great characters that they haven't done that with, like, nah, let's make Gex the movie. Let's do it.
Okay, it's nothing to do with DreamWorks.
Oh, really?
I just looked it up. The production companies were... there were a bunch of production companies and it was distributed by Gramercy Pictures, Rainmaker Entertainment. I don't know any of these names.
Okay, so all right. So it's just
it's just something. Paul Giamatti and John Goodman were in it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Sylvester Stallone.
Wow.
Rosario Dawson.
That must have... I mean, I assume the game made money, but that movie must have lost a shit ton of money.
I can tell you.
Big time, yeah.
This is me just on the phone with Harvey Weinstein, by the way. This isn't Wikipedia.
Yeah.
It had a 20.
I can see him he's in the other window on Skype.
Yeah. Hey, everybody, how you doing? I know.
We've just decided not to record that conversation, though. But it is real.
No, that was him just then. Didn't you hear him? You proved that that isn't what he sounds like.
By the way,
lost $7 million
York,
bucks.
I've seen so many people in New York that literally sound like bad Adam Knox New Yorker impressions.
So that means it's a good New Yorker impression.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Do that. There Lean out your window now and just yell out, "Oh!"
There was a guy. I saw a guy walking across the street yesterday, and a bike nearly hit him. And then the bike sort of, you know, clears him and he yells this. He yells at the guy and then the guy yells back, "Fuck off." And then he goes, "Yeah, why don't you come back over here and say that, you fucking cocksucker?" I was like, is this a bad sketch that someone in Australia wrote about New York? Like, I cannot believe I'm hearing a real person yell this out.
The only thing he didn't say was, "I'm walking here." Like, it was
pretty much. I was like, I was praying for it. I was like, come on, mate, give me that last little bit of juice.
You saw like an establishing shot from George of the Jungle when he goes to New York. Wow, this place is so different. The leopards never swear at each other.
The thing I loved about Ratchet and Clank was the the weapon system and like the weapons all being very different and the upgrading it, which is kind of a similar mechanic to something that I've been playing a bit of in the last week, Cave Story, which came out on the Switch like a week ago or something, has been out on everything else for five years or something, 4 years.
Yeah, it was like it's been out for quite a while. PC game in like 2010 or something.
Yeah, there was a DS version and a 3DS version as well.
Yeah, it's and man, it's I feel so dumb for waiting so long to go in, but at the same time, it is one of those things that's like the perfect thing on the Switch.
Yeah,
and it's great. Like it's so good. Like it's. Holy I shit. Believe it.
So just really quick, it came out in 2004.
Oh wow,
Cave Story.
2004, apparently on the PC. Because I played it back. It must have been then.
I think it originally it was made by one guy.
Yeah.
I believe.
And it was free. And I think
it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then since then, and this now is obviously like, well, yeah, if it's 13 years old, it's had like a lot of spit and polish put on it, and like. I saw a thing recently of like the people who were kind of handling the upscaling and stuff, which is like a team now, sort of, you know, him, the original guy commenting on it and going like, oh, this is amazing. This is, it's now got all the stuff in it that I, you know, would have loved to put in, but just didn't have time. Like, you know, there's like water effects when you jump in and out, like the water ripples and all that sort of stuff that he's had his little cock blown off by.
So I never played this game and I want to, For someone like me or someone who, might be getting it for the first time on the Switch, what is the game?
So it's a platformer, and it's one of those ones where, I mean, this is kind of the thing that's really nice about, like, really good indies, is that the whole thing of it is you can just tell that it's made by someone who just absolutely loves video games. Like, it's got so many, like, it's kind of hard to pitch because, like, You talk about the best things about it, and it just makes it sound like every other indie game. Like, it just sounds like a dime a dozen. Like, you know, it's a platformer that has a lot of, like, retro touchstones and, you know, is drawing pretty heavily from its influences and, you know, really kind of going for the stuff that you remember about, you know, being a kid and playing, like, a good adventure game on the Game Boy for the first time, but sort of fleshed out and making it feel like what it actually felt like you were playing. For the day, like actually heaps of stuff going on. So it's basically a platformer where you wake up in a cave, you're like a fighter or a soldier or something from the surface. It's kind of it's sort of like always just implied like who you are. Like people seem to know who you are or like what kind of, you know, class of person you are. Like you're referred to as like, oh, are you a soldier from the surface? But it's never quite gone into. And there's just this kind of little plot going on of, like, this person being kidnapped and this evil dude trying to get these little rabbit people and use their powers for his own. It's kind of this ongoing thing that, you know, you stumble across and you're just kind of drawn into.
There are only seven types of stories. Boy meets girl, boy meets world, evil guy tries to get little rabbit people.
Cave story.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just up to the bonus mini game where you have to try and lose your virginity before prom. So that's been a lot of fun so far. But yeah, it's like the writing is very like knowingly silly, but like, yeah, really leaning heavily into like the very video game tropey, silly kind of writing. But yeah, it's very like you have this hub world where you go in and out of the levels and you acquire weapons over the course of the game and the mechanic I really like about it is that when you kill enemies, they drop little pellets, and then you've got this bar that kind of levels up your gun. So each weapon that you have has three different levels that you can power it up to when you pick up, you know, these little pellets from killing enemies. But if you get hit, your health goes down, and that gun meter goes back down. Oh. So if you're like in a gunfight and you take a heap of, you know, a heap of damage, not only will you lose life, but all your guns will start to be depleted. So you're kind of looking to maintain that balance of, yeah, having like keeping all your guns at max power, which makes it like really interesting because you can come out of a big fight and go, oh fuck, I've got to build my arsenal back up again. Which is the bit of it that reminds me of Ratchet and Clank, like that kind of weapon upgrade mechanic, and that like, yeah, that was the bit I loved most about that game, and it's kind of present here. But just the presentation and the graphics and the The sound design is, yeah, it's really great. I would really recommend it to anyone who is a Switch owner who passed on it because it's, yeah, it's heaps of fun.
Yeah. What versions of it did you play, Nox?
I played the original, like the free PC one.
Yep.
Which is the thing, because I saw this was coming out for Switch and I remember really liking it. So thought, oh, maybe that's worth. But the price tag of, what? How much is it on the Switch?
I think it's $26, I think.
Yeah, I feel like it may have been 40 or something even.
Yeah.
Yeah, you might be right. Actually, you might be right because over here in the good old US of A where I currently am, just to remind people who've gotten used to the fact that it does hopefully sound like we're all in the same room.
Yep.
You can buy it like it's in shops, like you can buy a physical copy. And I believe that that's $40.
Yeah, right.
In the shops.
So the idea, like, they've updated it and made the graphics better and all that stuff. And I think there's a couple of extra little bits that were in there that aren't in the original. But because you do have this free PC version.
That you can literally just go and play online.
That you could get in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the Switch being portable definitely makes that an attractive thing. But it's that original version.
The main appeal for me was like it came out the day before I flew here. So I was like, oh, this is perfect. Like, and it was like, I got really sucked into it. And it was like, all of a sudden, like, you know, looked at my watch. I'm like, oh, cool. I've knocked off a huge chunk of the flight just there is something about, you know, booting up something for the first time and like not really knowing what to expect. It's so easy to get drawn in and for time to just kind of evaporate.
Totally. But, off the show, friend of the show, Jeremy Webb. He's done some tech stuff for us before for Filthy, and he's a big fan of Binding of Isaac.
Yeah,
and so he's played kind of like every version along the way.
Yeah,
and you know, like loves getting together with friends and playing it. It's a game that he will always play and play a lot.
Yeah,
and that came out on the Switch for what was it, $80? And
it was a full price. Yeah,
and that really was.
Is it 80?
An issue for him? I think it was $79
over here. Yeah.
Over here,
okay.
Yeah.
Because,
but also it was a game that he recommended for us to play, people who'd never played it, because by this point, that version that you're getting is worth $80. It's a fantastic, fully fleshed out game.
It is a weird thing with just the econ. Like you're already saying it with the Switch, even though it is a pretty new, you know, it's still pretty new. Like just the shifting economy of indie games and like, you know, you've got a game like Kimiko that goes up there for, what it's like $8 or something.
Yeah, it's like $6.50.
And then every now and then I'll see one pop up on there and it's like, I want to play this, but man, $40 is even 40 is kind of a bit of an ask for something that, you know, how much depth is in this? Like, and I guess it's a hard thing where it's like, it costs what it costs because it costs money to make and people worked hard on it, but... Yeah, when you've got all these choices, it is weird because there's no standardized price. It's not like, okay, well, first party stuff like Zelda and, you know, Splatoon is going to be $80. This kind of level of indie is going to be 50, and then this rung is going to be 30. Like something comes out and it could cost anything. Like,
yeah. The Switch does have kind of more expensive games than the PS4 or the Xbox or especially the PC.
Yeah.
So but you do get the benefit of having a portable thing. So
and usually it is like, it's a slightly nicer looking version with all of the add-ons included.
But funny you bring up Binding of Isaac because that's another one that over here you can get a physical copy in the shops. So I reckon I'm going to pick – I think it's $40 here, US. So I kind of figured I'd pick that up just because it's – I just always prefer having a – physical copy if I can, you know, if it's not for me then I can easily get rid of it or whatever. That was gonna be my question, was have either of you played it, because it sort of looks like it's in that category of stuff where a few people have said to me it's great, you'd really like it, but then just from looking at footage I go, I do not think I'd like this at all.
I absolutely hate the art style of it.
Yep.
I really, really don't like it.
It's that ugly pixel art, isn't it?
And it used to be, so there's like, I played about 5 minutes of the old version of it that used to look like more of a Flash kind of thing. And it's a dual stick shooter thing. So, you know, you're moving with one stick and you're shooting with the other.
Yep.
And I was bored to tears by it.
Mm.
I literally
really
cried
right.
For, oh, no.
for 3 weeks, for three full weeks. I had a Jewish mourning period. It was just, it was whole... so boring and, or just like so straightforward. And I just really hated the look of it. I haven't gone back to this
hate
like
the...
newer. Sorry?
I hate the look and the whole, like the, what would you call it? The theme or the conceit of it.
Yeah,
like
the
being
fetus
called the Binding of Isaac.
Afterbirth.
What are you
shit.
Like a? You're like a fetus or something? Like,
yeah.
It's all a little bit. Yeah, I don't know.
It's a little bit gamer bit edgy.
It looks gross. You look. You see all these gross little kidneys and shit, and you're like, fuck kidneys. I don't want to be looking at them.
I want them in a pie or not at all.
Yeah. Give him, put him steak and kidney pie. You got yourself a good British meal, which I'm doing the wrong accent for.
You went more Australian than usual.
Because it's the Super Meat Boy guy, isn't it?
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
Yes, I think so. Yes.
Did you guys ever see that movie?
What movie?
The Godfather.
Super
the
Meat
indie
Boy.
Game movie.
The what movie?
Indie Game, the movie.
Oh. It's weird
what?
That I couldn't hear you so much from over the other side of the room. That was good.
Yeah, that was really good. I'd like to watch it now that, you know, obviously everything's like quite dated. Like like all that stuff being out.
Yeah.
And obviously the, you know, the technology that people are using to make things. Like, I imagine it's one that's good to go back now and look at the stuff that they're using and freaking out about where it's like, oh, everything's changed and that's not relevant anymore.
Mm. And just where indie games were at the time of being this new concept even.
Right.
That just isn't really the case anymore. But
well, I haven't seen it. Is this the one that features the guy who made Fez as
yes,
well?
Yes, Phil Fish.
Yeah,
because I have read about that and I played Fez and I thought it was pretty good. But yeah, that was interesting, that story of him just kind of being like, fuck everything about the industry, and it's kind of it kind of seemed to come from him being kind of a dick as well.
Yeah, and then so it's him and the guys who made Super Meat Boy, the two of them,
yep,
and also Jonathan Blow, who was working on The Witness at the time,
right?
And this is like 2012; it came out or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is
he seems crazy, that dude,
Jonathan Blow.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. He's a lunatic.
Yeah,
I saw him
stab
someone
in
once.
it's interesting in the way that like they're it's three games that are all at very different stages of development. So I think you see the Meat Boy guys like finish the game, like finish
they,
making
they
the game.
They published during, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So all that stuff's pretty that's pretty nice to see. Like all that stuff of them like losing their minds when they finally finish working on it.
Yeah. Well, and that's why Cave Story is kind of interesting too, because when it came out, I didn't realize it was 2004. That's way earlier than I thought. There just wasn't this sort of stuff at the time.
Yeah,
like it.
Yeah, totally yeah. I do love that stuff now. Where not that I've really played it. I played like the first minute of it, but Undertale and like that is just basically one guy.
Yeah,
and he, you know, if you follow him on Twitter, he like just, you know, just that complete sort of like transparency of, you know, he'll get on there and, you know, be sort of really overjoyed that people care about the game, and the same with the Stardew Valley person.
Yeah.
Like I kind of really like seeing all that stuff now, and also like, yeah, just seeing stuff where you kind of get a lot of these like really singular voices working on games where you can just tell, oh, okay, this is. Like with Cave Story, you sort of can tell everything about that guy's childhood from playing the game, because you just go, this is the stuff that you played, this is the stuff that you loved, like this is what resonated with you. And I guess if you're playing it
when he was born.
I guess if you're playing it and you had those same experiences, I guess maybe that's why it resonates so much, because if you're of a certain generation, you know, video games can feel like a thing where, you know, perhaps you growing up, you didn't know a lot of people that were into them, so it sort of felt like you discovered these things and you were the only one who kind of gave a fuck about this stuff in games. And so to have this thing that's kind of speaks to that when you're a bit older is like, oh, fuck, wow, there was someone else like there, like that out there.
Totally. And 2004, like, I was still in high school. Like, the distribution
I was 18.
Method for that game would have been, I guess, non-existent. Even internet stuff wasn't that.
Well, its peers would have been fucking Newgrounds and stuff. It would have been Paris Hilton dress simulator and all of that sort of shit.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was a pretty unique thing at the time for sure.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, like this sort of like auteur thing that there is with games now is cool because like if you don't respond to it, whatever, but if you do, then you seem to really actually you do.
Yeah, yeah,
and yeah.
Like they support them really well. Like Stardew Valley's getting a multiplayer mode now.
Yeah.
Like more than a year after it's come out.
Mm.
Just for free, I'm pretty
sure. That's another one in the camp of indies that I just never got onto that's coming to Switch that I'm really looking forward to because it's just been sitting on my list for a very, very long time. Ben, yeah. I think you played it. It's come out since we started the show. I remember you playing it at the time and not loving it.
Yeah, I don't know if it was the fault of the game or just the kind of games I wanted to be playing at that time, but I see how it could easily be a game that I spend a million hours playing.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like an Animal Crossing-ish sort of thing.
The Harvest Moon.
Right.
It's just like, and well, again, mixed with a little bit of that like sort of spreadsheet checking of a civilization.
Totally, yeah. Which is the kind of game where I need to know I can only play this game in every spare moment. Otherwise, I won't really even bother to get into it.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, again, it's that thing again of you can tell it's a guy who loves Harvest Moon but has always gone, yeah, but imagine if you could kill shit in this.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, I'm such a fan of that stuff where something gets announced and you go, oh, yes, finally someone did it. Someone did that thing that I've always thought would be so great to be able to do in one of the games.
Yeah, 3 backflips in a row. Oh, my God.
Or when they... When they hit
two chicks at the same time.
When they hit on something.
By the way, I can't wait to listen back to the audio of just my track of this that I'm recording separately, where it'll just sound like me saying some statements, and then just going quiet for a couple minutes at a time.
If you tragically
and then responding to stuff that's not there.
If you tragically die immediately after recording this and somebody finds your body slumped over the keyboard there, they went, oh, no. Well, he's left a note at least so we can see where his head was at
when he was totally insane.
Just huge pauses. 2 chicks at the same time. Huge pause.
I was gonna say I should take this SD card and delete everything else off it and just leave it in the street for someone to find. Have you ever found any kind of like media in the street?
Nothing interesting, I don't think.
Because I found a couple of USBs in my time and been very excited to go, and because you just go, this could, I really hope, and also from the point of view of doing comedy, you go, fuck, this is, God, please let there be something insane on this, because that's 10 minutes right there. But my friend found a USB once that was like a, or maybe an SD card that was like a family's holiday photos, and it was all photos of them, you know those things they have set up, those like fake, it's like a plexiglass surfboard. And then like a big kind of like fake wave, like plastic, like wave behind them.
It was this sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. It was like about 20 photos of this family who are all very overweight posing on the surfboard, and they all looked fucking insane. Like it was the best public find, and he just uploaded them in an album on Facebook and went, check out what I found in the street. That's what I dream of, but yeah, I mean, I've been looking at a lot of bins over here, trying to hack people's phones for their personal data, but you know, no luck so far.
I don't think I'd have the balls to put a random USB card into USB stick into anything. The idea that someone's like, no, that maybe they just like dropped it on the street like a bag of cocaine, you know?
Yeah,
because they saw a cop coming.
Oh, yeah. It could be the start of a great action thriller.
Could be. Isn't that what happens to Will Smith in Men in Black? Yeah. What's that one? Chasing Amy? What's it called? Fucking Enemy of the
Enemy
State.
Enemy of the State. Yeah. 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 And, it's, yeah, No Country for Old Men. He finds the money.
That's true. Yeah.
I know movies.
The Yeah, Cave Story I thought was good too, and try the free version if you feel like it as well. If you don't have access to a Switch, why not?
But there's enough.
This
is
a story of a cave.
The little graphical updates are really good in spite of still being simple. Mm. I do, like, from looking on the main menu, there's a bunch of stuff that I gather unlocks as you go on or get deeper in, and there's, like, they've redone the music, but there's, like, 8 different styles of music that you can pick from. So there's, like, the original one, and
then
there's,
like,
a remastered one.
I really
like
the original.
And then there's one that's, like, super kind of chiptune-y where they've made it sound like it's on a Famicom. Like, yeah, so just all that sort of, like, interesting little, and I keep kind of going in and out and, like, you know, changing which style I'm listening to as I'm going through it, which, you know, is very cosmetic but also enjoyable. There's a bit of news that I think happened yesterday, maybe, that the there's a special edition Destiny 2 DualShock coming out.
Huge breaking news.
I think it looks really cool. What do you guys
think?
Hits
the big red button to stop the presses. Guys, I need to take a shit. Quick, I need to use this. We've run out of scripts for Ratchet and Clank.
The memory on this guy is just fantastic.
It looks gross. It looks shitty. It's real tacky looking.
I think it's
so
the
bad.
Least tacky of these kind of things, but I don't like these kind of things
as
a rule.
Yeah, I agree. Like, because, man, these things, it's the same people who do, like, the Monster Energy drinks or something.
Yeah.
Who do the half of the fucking novelty controllers there have been over the years have huge gouges taken out of them by
fake... like a like a velociraptor had attacked them.
No, my controller's been scratched by a bear. Well, this feels shit and looks terrible. Cool, I'll spend the money.
I'm prepared to go on record and say that I'm generally am not a fan of the humor of Kotaku, the website. But this is good. Their article on it, the headline is just, oh no. yeah, it's a piece of shit. It's all white, save for the, what's it called? The touchpad thing.
Yeah.
Is black and has Destiny 2, the logo on it. And then on the left prong, there's the little kind of logo of Destiny with the number 2 under it. And then on the right, there's like another icon, which I assume is something for the game, something from the game. And they're in gold. It looks like. Did either of you guys do like any kind of like visual communication subjects in high school?
Yeah.
Where you know, yeah.
there's some visual communication right there.
Adam's flipping me off through Skype. you know, your final assignment would be design this, and you'd have to have your first page of all your rough concepts, and they're all just, what's the very first thing you think of that's also shit? This looks like that. Yeah. This looks like the very first crack at, all right, well, we won't do this. But, you know, just to get the ball rolling, so you we'll stick the logo in the middle.
It looks like, you know when games used to come with little stickers, like a little sheet of stickers?
Yes.
Yeah.
And you'd put them on your PlayStation and regret it afterwards and then try to take it off, but it'd be that type of sticker where if you try to remove it, it just goes
all
papery.
It leaves the ripped white paper,
Fuck that shit, man.
Yeah.
This looks like, someone just got a packet of them and put them on and went, oh, whoops.
It does look like a 17-year-old's high school visual communications project.
My Guitar Hero guitar.
My PlayStation.
I mean, I think, you know, symmetry is so visually appealing, and not that everything has to.
Is this your TED talk on visual design, Tommy? Symmetry is visually appealing.
That's what explains my fuck-looking face.
I've bought heaps of black turtlenecks over here, so I'm about to give that a good workout. Just this design thing of stuff just being whacked anywhere, like, it's so, I just can't stand it. Like, even if those prongs at least had the same thing on both of them, I wouldn't mind it as much, but, ugh.
It is one of the most pared back of these sorts of things. Like, a lot of these controllers and novelty whatevers seem to have the same sort of design philosophy as, like, the 90s kind of Nickelodeon gunk toys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where it's all just like oozing fucking, like Mad Catz is dead, pour one out, rest in peace. But
yeah, like shitty camouflage with scratches and ooze,
heaps
and
of fucking
logos.
Spikes,
yeah,
uncomfortable spiky parts. Yeah.
Yep.
But like the thing too is like if you're basing it on a game, there's obviously there'll be some kind of like thing within the game, like the kind of lore of it or whatever it is that you could theme the controller on. Mm-hmm. And have that be really cool, and that's good fan service.
A big, like, a big, huge scratch.
Yeah, like if you made there's a Splatoon 2 Pro controller that they brought out. That's kind of personally, I think it's as bad as this. It's just one of the prongs is pink and one of them's green, and that's it. It's like
it's got
all these cool.
It's got little very faint black like tattoo things on it that are like the same symbols that are on the loading screen as well. I think it looks fine. Nintendo's thing with all the Switch accessories, though, has been weird, but they are, like, just the yellow ones for arms and even the pink and blue Joy-Cons.
But I just think, like, in terms of the Splatoon one, like, you've got all these cool in-game brands and stuff. Like, I would, if it was themed like it was from within the game, I would buy that in a second. Or if it was done up to look like one of the guns in there or something. Like,
totally. And the thing with this Destiny 2 one, it's almost because Destiny's interface design is great. It's really minimalistic. Yeah. I think it looks really nice. And so it's almost like as nice as that looks, they still had to fuck up the design of this. And this one looks, I think, as good as I've seen one look. That's it still had to like fight against that like whole aspect of being a limited edition controller necessarily ruining the design. Like it's just inherent.
Yeah. I think what the problem is, it's like it's theming it on the box art rather than theming it from something within the actual game.
Totally, like, totally.
Which is like I was saying with the Splatoon one, like just being in the Nintendo store the other day, like at the moment they've got all this Splatoon merchandise and it's all designs and gear that's from in the game. Mm. So like it's all those weird little logos and stuff, which looks really cool. It's not just a shirt that has Splatoon written on it. But yeah, it's
Spalton.
Weird to put
Spalton 3.
Just misspelled bullshit. I think you're right about that. They never do. I can't actually think of any good examples. There was that Resident Evil 4 chainsaw controller.
Right.
Oh yeah, see stuff
goofy,
like that.
But it's fun, but it's kind of useless, but it's a fun thing.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, it's sort of, it's more the fan service of it being from, something within the world.
Oh, there was one for Phantasy Star Online on the GameCube.
Oh, yeah.
That was a keyboard. And it was a keyboard with half a GameCube controller on either side.
Oh, right.
Sort of like
Switch
looking thing.
Yeah.
But the screen is a keyboard and the floor is lava.
But yeah, it's weird. Like when they re-released the Nintendo 3DS and they met those new ones that had the improved screen. I think some of them, the color scheme was like the original Super Nintendo controllers or the PAL Super Nintendo controllers.
Oh yeah.
I remember at the time heaps of people being like, oh, this is sick. Like it's such a small thing, but this is so cool. Like it's weird how companies just lose sight of the bare minimum of fan service that they have to do to get people really excited and instead release something like this piece of shit Destiny controller that's been on my screen for the last 10 minutes now. I'm just staring at this shit controller.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've just typed in like video game third party controllers. There's a fuckload of camouflage.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah. There's one for every sports team, which is kind of cool.
Oh yeah.
Each of them is fine because it's just the right colors basically.
Yeah.
The majority of them though just fucking awful, and it's reminded me how bad the Nintendo 64 controller was.
Yeah.
There's just
I've just googled
all look so uncomfortable.
Limited edition controllers.
Huh?
There's some really bad limited edition controllers out there.
Yeah. Well, like with most limited edition game releases, like the statuette that's bundled in the book of like they just do their best to ruin it all.
Yeah.
And like video game characters have such interesting designs usually, and the best ones are some of the best designed things ever. Like, and the attachment you have to them is increased because of the interaction. And it's like this stuff could be fucking awesome, and it's 99% of it is terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. I bought it, like, speaking of Cave Story, I bought it to play on the plane, but I kind of wanted to hold out because it you can get a physical version here that comes with a really big, thick instruction manual that's, like, styled in the theme of, like, old Game Boy games.
Oh, man.
And it's got... And then something else in there as well. But just that, I was like, that sounds really cool and something that I was kind of tempted to hold out for and just get here. But
Binding of Isaac has the same thing, except it's like the instruction it's the instruction manual for the original Legend of Zelda that they recreated, but just Binding of Isaac stuff. And in fairness to the controller people, just real quick, the design of every controller
what an
that comes
opener.
Out, huh?
In fairness to the controller people.
Well, they're out there.
They deserve a voice.
That sounds like you're about to make some big statements about the government, but you've forgotten the word for government. In fairness to the controller people.
These mad cats in the White House. The designs of every controller tend to be pretty fucking good when they come out for the most part.
Yes.
And sure.
Yes.
So it's hard to do a shape differently because, you know, they're already very, very thought about and good. And then in terms of just...
It's hard to do a shape differently.
Again, I love that as a statement. It's so deep.
Sorry. Make sure when you edit the Audacity file of this that you cut that bit out.
I'm sitting here staring at the PlayStation VR, and that is a beautifully designed piece of technology.
Oh, man.
It does look good.
Yeah.
When them lights are on as well.
Yeah. I was doing it the other night, and I turned all the lights off, obviously. And, yeah, like, just the... And when I took it off, you know, the blue ones are glowing, the controller had, like, a red, and it was like, fuck, this looks great. And, yeah, like, the Pro Controller for the Switch itself, most of the first-party pieces of technology look great because, yeah, like you said, like they've spent a year making sure it looks the best it possibly can.
Totally. And then, you've only got the choice of, if you're a first party thing, putting some design on them. And there's not a lot of free space there.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of room. So you're best off going for just good colors.
Totally.
Well, we commented at the time on this when we first got the VR that it's amazing how it feels. It's simultaneously, it's very lightweight. And it, you know what I mean? It feels really kind of ergonomic, but it also, it still feels like it has value. Like it, you know what I mean? It doesn't feel like
it's sturdy.
Kind of, it's more kind of compact and lighter to hold than it looks like it's going to be in the pictures and then what you imagine a VR thing to feel like. Mm. But you don't hold it and go, oh, this feels like a fucking shitty little plastic toy.
Yeah, totally. No, totally.
Like, good. To be able to do both of those at the same time is a pretty impressive feat of design.
Mm.
Oh, and the Xbox One controller is my favorite one out of all the current ones. I think the updated version of it, at least.
Right.
It feels really good. Sorry, I ate a huge burger before coming here, and this whole time I've been trying not to throw up. It was good, but I just, like, you know when you just eat and your body's like, nah, mate, not today. Come on.
Are you allowed to mention the location of the burger restaurant?
It's called Burger Love.
Burger Love?
Burger Love.
Where is it?
I've heard of it.
In South Melbourne.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What the fuck were you doing there?
I was ordering Uber Eats.
Burger Love. I like it.
Yeah, no, it's pretty good. They do this. You were in Canada. Is Canuck an okay word to say?
Yes.
Okay. It's a maple Aussie bacon Canuck.
Oh, man.
And what do, they start with a layer of pure grass-fed beef.
Oh, yeah.
Then on top of that, cheese and shit. And then it's like maple bacon and crispy onion rings.
Oh, man.
But like the thin kind.
Yeah, yeah.
It was real fucking good. But anyway, my body wants to get rid of it.
I had, you know what
I've been seeing a lot of here.
Hey?
Sorry, you know what I've been seeing a lot of here? A phrase that I hadn't seen in quite a while on menus. The phrase, smothered in our...
Oh.
It's like... Yeah. It's not appealing. Yeah. It's
smothered,
like,
is a disgusting word.
I think it's trying to make you feel like you're getting value because smothered implies, like, dude, we are using so much of this fucking sauce.
We're arguably using
about getting value
too much
for money
of it
in that department.
this amount of cheese is how we killed the cow. We smothered it with it.
Yeah.
But yeah, the controller's bad. But I tell you what ain't so bad.
Yeah?
I've been playing Tacoma today, and I actually knocked it out all in a day.
You jerked off while you were playing Tacoma?
Huh?
You jerked off while you were playing Tacoma?
Yeah. It's about these faceless space holograms, and that's apparently my fetish.
Yeah.
It's by the people who did Gone Home. Free something. Fuck, I'm going to look up that. Fulbright.
And Gone Home is that kind of Firewatch
Yes.
Like,
walking simulator yes. is the term that people tend to use for this sort of game.
Yeah.
And what you're getting is just a pretty straightforward story told linearly in like a first person context.
Right. Picking up clues and exploring and
picking up just little fucking tins and shit that you shouldn't be able to hold, and there's no point, but it adds so much to it. So it's set in like 2088. And you go to a space station, you're like a researcher, or an investigator, sorry, like a detective type of woman.
Yep.
And you're going on there to sort of figure out exactly what went down on this now abandoned space station.
That's kind of one of my favorite story setups. Yeah. What happened in this space station?
So it's not particularly driven by action in the way that you might expect that story to go.
Yeah.
It's not. It's a lot more. There's a group of people on this space station, like a small crew.
Yeah.
And you go through and sort of look around all the stuff that's there after them leaving. So, you know, all this stuff knocked over and whatever.
Yeah.
And notes on their computers and all of that stuff. But then you can also play AR, which stands for actual reality.
It's a pirate's favorite kind of video game.
I'm married to the sea. My favorite letter is C and R and W.
Thanks for coming back on the show, Dave Callan.
Also, I like pussy. So the you're looking at AR. What does it stand for? Augmented reality. The holograms.
Yeah.
And, you know, you play or rewind or whatever, these recordings, everything on the ship's always been recorded. And you go through and you watch all these things, obviously out of actual sequential order.
Right.
Because you're walking around the spaceship seeing these things happening at different times. It's got like a out of sync, Pulp Fiction-y, you know, back and forth.
Yeah.
Time story. And it's all just based on these sort of interpersonal relationships of these characters. And it's all very, you have to want to sit down and read a bunch of fucking shit about fake people.
Yeah. Is it scary or anything?
Not particularly.
Well, I'm not interested.
No, it's not. It's a lot more. It's pretty. And I.
Why is it interesting?
It's well written. It's well written and it's well acted. I really like the look of it. Mm. It's just a nice story.
Okay.
You know, which I obviously don't want to go too far into what that story is, because that's all that is in this game.
Because with, even just like your general space station story, there's some kind of tension.
There's tension between the characters. And there's tension here. Like there's a setup on the space station for why they have to leave and that stuff.
Yeah, okay.
And there's pressure and there's a story.
Yeah.
And it, in the same
What's
way as Firewatch or anything. Like it's one of those games through and through. So if you weren't into Gone Home or that fucking
The other one, the Rapture one.
Dear Esther or any of them.
Yeah.
You're not going to be into this. It's exactly one of those games.
Right.
I've seen a bunch of people get shitty at these games as well. The sort of people who get, you know, when they get angry, they yell out, "You're from Tumblr," you know, like.
Yes.
It's that sort of crowd who don't like it as well, just out of web and flick. But
what's
it on?
Sorry, Tommy, go ahead.
What's it on?
It's on the Xbox One and the PC. There's
no my question was to Ben about you. What's this guy on?
He's on my dick.
Man, he's saying some crazy stuff right now.
So
I don't think there's an announced PS4 version. I'm going to double check that now, though. What was your question? Sorry.
So my thing is, I obviously love Firewatch, and I've enjoyed. I enjoyed Dear Esther, despite it really having almost nothing to it. But yeah. I really hated Everybody's Gone to the Rapture, which was you walking around a town where something's happened and the story is told to you through holograms of people who were there before.
I never played that one.
Yeah.
But I think the difference here might be the writing and the acting.
Sure.
The acting in this is really good. I really liked all of the voice actors.
Yeah.
And I really liked the writing as well.
Okay.
So
well, that's good.
That setup you were saying about Everybody Goes to the Rapture, when that does happen in reality, it won't be holograms, it'll be podcasts that you walk around finding. Like,
yeah, it'll be USB sticks.
Hey guys, welcome back to the End of the World cast.
I mean, there is, System Shock 2 and shit already kind of had little podcasts in them.
Yeah.
This is basically that style of storytelling too. Just without any game there.
Yeah, right.
So it is a weird, specific type of thing for you to like. And it's strange to recommend because I don't want to explain the story, obviously.
Yeah.
But you probably like this story if you like. If you liked Firewatch, I reckon you might like it.
Yeah.
It's a lot less about, well, actually, no, that's not fair because it's a lot less about your role in the story as you being a fly on the wall.
Right.
And also... Also, you like it, and you don't like Firewatch.
No, I know, but that was I specifically didn't like the writing in Firewatch. I don't know. It's hard to recommend this in the same way that it's sort of hard to recommend a movie that is of a sort of nebulous genre. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, totally. You can't just go. You like this movie? It's a drama.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Because this is essentially a drama.
Right.
And it's like...
You've got to just be like, no, it's really good. But in a movie, you can recommend the actors and the director and the writing.
Yeah.
But
and it doesn't fall into any of the genre tropes, really, that it would seem to.
Right.
Because it's nothing like Alien or whatever.
Right. Totally.
So the story is... but I found it really engaging and I thought it was really well made. And but I if you liked Gone Home, you'll like this.
Yeah, okay.
More than
I guess that's the thing. That's the pedigree.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to bring this up just because when we were talking about VR before, it reminded me of this, and I don't think I've brought this up on the show before. But speaking of VR, I found a thing the other day of a guy who had like leaked a bunch of stuff about the Switch, and this was ages ago.
Mm.
And they kind of went through a lot of stuff he's put on there, turned out to be real. It could have just been luck. A couple of things haven't panned out. But one of the things that he has on there is that he's saying that Nintendo are deep into working on Switch VR. And that's coming, that's going to be revealed within the next year. And that's kind of also like justifying the way the Joy-Cons are rigged up and everything. Like a big part of that is so that it can seamlessly work as controllers for when you have VR going on.
And you
think of that?
You would slot the Switch itself into a headset, I'm guessing?
Yeah.
Like a Samsung thing?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense because for them to just make a headset, I mean, they've already... Yeah, that's probably the appealing part of it is that, yeah, they've already got the screen bit of it there ready to go.
Could be the cheapest one by quite a margin.
Totally.
Totally. Right.
Or it could be fucking stupid Nintendo prices and still be expensive. Why not?
Like I like VR. I'm into VR, and if you can have a great console with a bunch of good games that turns into a VR unit that I don't have to pay a shit ton more for, then that's great.
I don't know how the fuck it'll
work. Hope it's true because it sounds like really it sounds cool. The fact that it's just there and ready to go is
it
could.
Yeah, surely that's part of the appeal.
The PS4 kind of struggles to do VR and it has another box that you have to attach and a headset. You know what I mean?
And it's
more powerful than
Switch. Yeah.
What are those ones where you do just put your phone in? Like how do they, I've never used one of them. How do they go?
I think they just do sort of 360 video type stuff. Like it's much less actual 3D VR than the PS4, more sort of,
they wouldn't be aiming to go for like the most insanely immersive thing. They'd be looking to get 360 degree video, or video 360 degree experience that then they've got their whole library of IPs to kind of slot into.
Yeah.
Like That's the appeal they'd be going for, is like, hey, cool, you're in Mario instead of going, this is the most mind-blowingly realistic thing ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't really have any concept of how much you can make that function, but it could hypothetically be wireless as well, which would be cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we haven't talked about it. There's like a big new VR bar that's opened in Tokyo, and they've got a Mario Kart VR thing in it that looks phenomenal.
Mm. Yeah, it's AR, isn't it? Developing that, it's not fully VR.
Augmented reality, that stands for. Arr, right. Arr, that it does, my boy.
God.
but that still looks cool. It's going to be fascinating to see, like, even if Nintendo don't do it, like, obviously, you know, Sony are going to continue to refine, you know, what they're doing and make their, you know, make their version of it, you know, less bulky. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see how quickly do we get to a point where it's like a futuristic movie where it literally just is like a very tiny headset that you plop on, and there's nothing, you know, it's not connected to anything. It's just on, and then you're ready to go.
And that thing that you want, Tommy, which I think is what the Microsoft HoloLens is, where it would be, I guess, it wouldn't be a transparent screen. It would be a camera on the other side so that you can do VR and AR, like you said, with the Mario Kart thing. You still see your surroundings.
I want that future where, you know, you look up and you look at a cloud and it's an ad for Viagra or whatever. I want to live there.
Just put a poster of a Viagra ad on your ceiling.
You swipe the cloud, though, and it orders Viagra.
Oh,
and then
you
have a 3D representation of where the mail truck is.
Yes.
So you can see it like 50 kilometers in the distance.
Oh, yeah.
50, because I think
and that would be cool. So you see the Viagra ad, and then the augmented reality, you look down at your crotch, and it, like, augmented reality, you see your cock getting real firm.
And everyone in the street sees it too. And you can walk around. Everyone's just walking around naked with virtual clothes on.
So this was...
And everyone's freezing to death.
This was what Google Glass was meant to be, right?
Yeah.
If you just slip the headset off for 1 second, you can just see everyone in the nude.
Fuck yeah, man.
Yeah, like that movie, They Live. But yeah, I think Google Glass was meant to be this. It was meant to be full Google Suite integration with life.
Original kind of dumb pitch, but it was just in your corner of your eye. You could watch a YouTube video, right?
Yeah, and also people got real freaked out about the privacy stuff because it was also potentially filming everything.
Yeah.
Which, look, I mean, our privacy's already disappeared now, so let's just do it.
Yeah.
I reckon.
Only other thing worth talking about for this week, I think, in the world. Only other thing worth talking about in the world.
Yep.
Anthony Scaramucci. No.
That's the thing. This isn't a video games podcast. This is a general current events podcast. We just talk about the most important things every week.
It just so happens the top 10 is always games. PS Plus went up.
Yeah.
Before we start talking about this, I've been playing more Battlegrounds too, and that game's still great, and I still recommend it to everybody.
Yep.
PS Plus went up in price. The subscription service for online play on the Sony PlayStation platform.
How much did it go
is
up
that
by,
part
Adam?
Of this, is that part of this Netflix tax thing?
So I don't think it is, because it went up in Europe as well.
Right.
And over here in Australia. I don't think it went up in America, but apparently it maybe did a couple years ago.
Right.
Hang on, let me run out into the street and ask someone.
Yeah.
Oh,
you boy. There, boy. Yeah. You there, boy. How much is PS Plus? Today?
Today?
Why, it's $18, sir.
So I think it went up to $80 here, possibly.
Yeah.
And like 60 euros.
This has reminded me, I've got to cancel mine because I never use it. It's one of those great ones where the bill comes through in the email every month and I'm like, again, another month has gone by where I haven't touched it.
Right.
And then I just don't get around to doing it.
I'm the customer that people dream of.
Yeah. No, that's. Yeah. I need to cancel my subscription to all of my vanilla pornography websites because I have moved beyond them. I use it plenty to justify it. And all the free games make it worth it, even if you're not.
I always forget to even go on there and.
Well, you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah,
then,
that's
Tom.
Your
that's
fault.
Not their fault.
I'm not saying it's not. I'm saying
I bought 20 kilos of bananas and they've gone off in a month.
I'm accepting full accountability here. I'm not trying to pass the buck at all. I'm okay, saying it's a waste of my money.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's gone up from the $70 it was, which I thought it was 60, and it's gone up to $80 here.
That feels...
I thought it was like 20.
No.
No, it's it's 70 a year.
Per
sorry.
Year. Which, again, oh, you, shouldn't, okay, be, right, you shouldn't be getting it monthly, Tommy. You should just buy it for a year and forget.
No, I think I'm month to month.
You fucking idiot. Right.
That's a lot more money.
I know.
Too.
It's so much more money.
Again, you'll hear no complaint from me. I'm accepting full accountability.
I can't believe how much of a little bitch he's being about this, Knox. I wish he would just accept responsibility.
Rare for me to not try and find a reason to let myself off the hook. But yeah, this is one of those I've gotten. There's no rocks for me to hide under.
This shit's crazy because I've got a PS Plus one. I've got Xbox Live Gold.
Yeah.
And soon we'll have to have the Switch.
Nintendo
fucking
Nintendo Online, yeah.
Which is much cheaper than the others, but still really fucking annoying.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Have they... what's it? It's like 30... It's pretty cheap, isn't it?
It's like 25 or 30 for a year, something like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which
is
very reasonable.
That's nothing.
Sure, but it's less reasonable than free was, but nothing's free anymore, is it?
Well, and it's also like... When you factor in the lack of online service that they generally give you,
it's
25's a fucking ripoff.
Yeah, it's pretty stiff. I played some of that Salmon Run for Splatoon 2.
Oh yeah, me too.
It's really fun. I really liked it.
Yeah, it's great.
Good, like
I finally was in a hotel where the Wi-Fi was going to let me on the Switch, and like turned it on and just happened to be on at a time when you could go on the Salmon Run.
Yeah,
and it's really fun.
And you know it'd be great in that, being able to talk to the people you're playing with. Oh, well.
Yeah, and you need to. Like, there's so much stuff where you get stuck in a corner and you need help.
And you can press up or down on the D-pad to either say over here or something else, like thanks.
You know what you can say?
Booyah. Sorry,
you can say
booyah.
Over here or booyah.
Yeah. That old New Yorker staple. Booyah, yeah. I'm walking here.
What other sweet LEG catchphrases are they going to work in? Push right.
When you're
to
playing co-op,
call for
you
me
can
Julie.
Play with my wife.
Oh, the worst Borat impression I've ever heard.
Oh, they announced, speaking of that game, they announced the times for a new Splatfest, and also that the Splatfest is going to have a level that's unique to the Splatfest, which I think is really... I know you've been into it, Knox, like the whole timed aspect of it and kind of having these certain levels that only show up for special events, I think is a cool way of getting people excited about the event. Because to be honest, like the whole thing of like, oh, mustard or ketchup, you know, battle it out and let's see who wins. I'm like, I've never really given a fuck about that sort of tournament-y kind of stuff. But to get on it, it's like, hey, here's a special weapon or a special level that you're only going to be able to play in this mode. Like that makes me go, okay, well, I'm definitely going to make sure I make time to play it at that time.
Oh, yeah. And at some level, everything's transitory and everything goes away, so I should just get used to the fact.
Wow.
So, speaking of which, I think this episode may have transitoried its way out of our place. Meaning
it might have transitoried its way out of our place.
Meaning that it's late over here and I want to go to sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, I should point out, you guys insisted that we have Skype on, so like video Skype on, so that I could see both of you.
Yeah.
I believe it was you, Knox, that pushed for this, and you've sat out of frame for the entire time we've been doing this.
Yeah, well, I can see you and when your lips start moving so that I can look at them sweet lips moving. But yeah, it's just way more comfortable here.
Every now and then you've crossed your foot over your leg.
Yeah.
Which... the foot ends up being the biggest thing in the frame, and it kind of looks like you're really passive aggressively trying to like block Ben out of the frame.
Yeah.
I was deliberately making it try to look like that. I was waggling it around and stuff. I'm not an idiot.
It's a little visual treat that I enjoyed very much. All right. Well, guys, thank you. Thank you for staying up late to do this with me.
Hey. I didn't want
I'm talking to the listener. I'm going to have to insist that people listen to this episode at 3 a.m. Thanks very much for listening, guys. Filthycasuals.com.au for all our... you can find our bonus content that we do. You can find links to our PayPal if you want to chip in to support the show. And, all our social media stuff is on there. Send us your... yeah, we love reading all your stuff every week about what you've been playing and what you've liked and what you haven't liked. Anything else?
No, I don't think so.
Normal episode next week, right? You're back next week?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, again, I can't wait to see how this turns out. Hopefully this has just seemed like a normal episode.
But, yeah.
Yeah. Glad we were able to make this work with me being away. Yeah. All right. Thanks heaps for listening, guys. And as we say at the end here of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
hopefully this episode wasn't a desynced nightmare. I'm trying to like desync it. Didn't work. My wife.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.